You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 228. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
Regional champion Rogue Schindler.
I was definitely not expecting that, especially this year.
That is probably most of what we're going to talk about today. We had a second edition regional here in San Diego, and six of us showed up to have at it. We pretty much decided at the onset, and I think even before, it was just going to be a round robin. Pretty much no matter how many people showed up. No, not really. We'd be playing five rounds, regardless of, you know, with six people, you're supposed to play three rounds, because then, is it three? I don't even remember how it adds up. Maybe it's four people, you're supposed to play three rounds, so that, one person wins every time, and then you have one winner. We had the opportunity to have a really messed up strength of schedule and, head-to-head and all kinds of stuff. We're going all the way down to differential because of how many games we played. But I thought it was a good decision. I had a good time for the most part. And you, obviously.
Yeah, it was nice to get to play everybody who was there. And, everybody was great. And, I didn't miss anything. That was cool. I knew what everybody was playing. You know, I didn't have to, what were you playing? Who was that? What was that guy playing? You know?
Yeah. In fact, that's something we'll probably talk about. Let's do that. Let's talk about what everyone else was playing, and then we'll talk about how it went matched up. I remember the first person I played was Charlie, so that was the one that I remember the least because it was in the beginning. I remember he was playing a tragic diploma pile, and he kept whiffing on consuming, trying to get an ace. I might have been able to skate past some deaths with the personnel I had out were preventing you from losing command or people from dying, so it didn't do very much against me, and I think I scored a lot of points and he didn't. Do you remember your game against him?
I do. He did the same thing. He was playing Tragic Turn paired with a TOS deck, kind of half motion pictures, half regular TOS.
Yes.
But he dropped a wad on my first mission. I think because I went with a bunch of really good guys, and he was just going to whack the crap out of them and consumed, he even counted at the end, he consumed six dilemmas at that mission and did not pull an ace, and his dilemma pile was teeny tiny.
Yeah.
So that was some pretty bad luck, and it basically gave me a mission on the next turn, which, thanks to my new favorite dilemma, was really beneficial.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I know what you're talking about because it hit me and I wasn't even close. So Charlie ended up in fourth place out of six. The next person I played was JD, and you played him in the last round, right?
I did. He was playing Bajorans.
Yes. Yes, he was. He was playing with, was it Instruct Advanced Drone?
I think so.
Yeah.
In the Delta Quadrant. Mission.
Yeah. So you start out with Bajoran ships with really low range, and then you go to the Delta Quadrant. I thought that was tough. That's tough. that was a long way to go to for some bonus points. You know what I mean? Oh, tell me you didn't drop off again. All right. Well, he was playing.
Oh, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
All right. You're back. Very good. So what
maybe
I said was he had to go a long way to get those extra bonus points for was it a distant exploration and a few other things.
But he was trying to use the buff ships, and he had all the buffs in there, so like Vedic Assembly Transport and the new one, the Orb Transport. So he had things in his discard pile and that was beefing those up. So it wasn't like one damage marker was going to destaff him. Or get him or strand him in the Delta Quadrant, but it was still he needed two ships to have a round trip.
Yeah, that's tough. If I remember in my game, I think he scored points from Opaka for 5 points, and that was about it. He did not get very much. Unlike you, in the game I played against you, where it was just ridiculous, he didn't get a lot of his tricks to get cards into his discard pile. So he had things that he could have tried to use. You know, he had resources in play and in hand, but he didn't have anything in his discard pile to actually swap in or out or target or anything like that. So that was tough. He just never got the machine going, as it were.
Yeah, we had a similar game. I mean, he got some things in his discard pile early. We did kind of relax at first because we both had decks that were kind of setup heavy. So if I remember playing you, you were kind of out the gate pretty quickly as soon as you had some people, and we were both trying to get all of our toys in order. So we were a little more relaxed, and he had a bit of a discard pile when he went out. But I know a couple of his attempts, I was like, felt really close, like he was going to solve, and I just pulled out like a lucky selection or a you know, skill track that I happen to remember. I had a gigantic discard pile and was also playing Bajorans, so it was a lot easier for me to go, well, you have this guy and this guy and this guy, and I can go look at my discard pile and, oh, look, there's that skill. You don't have that skill, and I'm pretty sure those people don't. So that actually ended up being a pretty decent advantage on the day against two Bajoran players.
Yeah, well, it worked to my advantage, too, because I was able to look through your discard pile and your out-of-play pile and try to figure out, you know, what I was going to play later on. But, I just felt like it just never got going for him. JD ended up with one win on the day and picked up sixth place. My third-round opponent was Johnny, heavily favored to win going in by all the pundits. And Johnny brought a big, fat Klingon deck, which... He got a modified win against me, and you must have beat him because you went undefeated. So how did your game go against him?
Pretty well, obviously. I think he did not know a lot of the new cards as well as he either hoped he did or thought he should, because he kept muttering. He kind of kept shaking his head and going, man, Return to Grace, I don't remember. I don't know what that does, and I don't remember what skills that guy has. I kind of snicker at his big fat deck, because even, you know, he usually earns that title, you know, with his 80 card Borg deck, but he had a slim 60 card Klingon Solver by my standards.
A slim 60 card Solver. And, huh?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it was less than half of my deck, so. You know, I usurped his big fat title today for the deck. But yeah, he had you know, he got Clag. I was kind of like, well, this is over, because he got Clag right away and Azadbor and past Klingons coming out and getting ready to attack. I lucked into, you know, my deck is, as I mentioned, a little slow and kind of needs to get set up before it goes and does things, so patience was the order of the day, and kind of hoping I can slow down my opponent. And I lucked into a secret ID issue of trust, so I could get rid of Clag and stop everybody, and then an intimidation was really helpful, and I even got to discommandate him on his second mission.
Wow.
So I threw it in the last minute. This was totally the tournament of last-minute cards getting thrown in and being ridiculously useful.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of them.
So, yeah.
Between that and him whiffing on dilemma plays against me, I was able to pull it out.
Yeah, we went to time, and I want to say that he got two missions done to my one. That makes sense to me, but it was a close match. It was a lot of, I just remember being a lot of back and forth, and I think he went out really quick and started. I don't know. We played a lot of games. I want to say he went out a lot earlier than I was expecting, and I had to just go out and start doing things, otherwise I would have been way too far behind. And it turned out I was behind by about a turn. So anyway, congrats to Johnny for getting a modified win on me. However, that was one of the few wins he got. Wins he won. He ended up in fifth place with 10 victory points. And then in the fourth round, I played against you,
which we recorded.
We did. Unfortunately, the recording quality is horrendous, and unlike 1E, where it might be fun to listen to what's going on, in 2E, it's a lot of, okay, I'll attempt with 5, or I'll attempt with 9, and then silence. 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 And then, okay, I'll play these 3. And then, you know, there's some talking, and then, okay, it's your turn. Okay, I'll play the guy, and I'll attempt with 9, and then, you know, long periods of silence. That's a lot more editing that I think I can handle. So, heck, I still have past episodes of this show without editing that I need to post. So, I'll take a look at it. If it's something I can salvage, maybe just pick out some of the funny parts. I'll see what I can post. But no guarantees on that. So, you and I, I think we were very close in victory points going into this round, even though I had a loss. Because you had a couple modifieds, but it was you kept building up and building up and building up, and I kind of thought, well, once your ship launches, because I've been reading about Ken's and Michael Van Riemen's rocket ship deck, you know, it's a Bajoran thing with Covenant and that kind of thing, Basso, and you know, once it goes, you know, it just goes everywhere on one turn and that's it. So I was holding back a bit and. Trying to, you know, get my resources played out, you know, see what protection I had. And then I went and got my Cisco killed. That wasn't a good idea. Or no, he used secret identity him out. And I played another one, and instead of holding him back, I decided to use him for something, and he got killed. So that was my disruption that I was hoping for. Because I looking back, you played a couple of interrupts in turn, like... the Fajos Menagerie, I could have canceled that, but I was really waiting for the Covenant, and it didn't come until after Cisco was gone. But most of the stuff that you played wasn't on cards that you played during the game. It was abilities that were already in play that I couldn't really do much about. So that was tough to see it coming and not be able to do very much about it.
Well, I'm a little disappointed to hear that you were hearing about so-and-so's deck and so-and-so's deck, because I was really excited to think that I pulled this deck out of mothballs to play on my own volition. But I'm sure with the Return to Grace cards, I'm not the only one who was going and getting these things to play with some fancy Bajorans. But I was hearkening back and remembering a great deck that Thomas Weinberg played 4 or 5 years ago, that was attempt with a bunch of guys, but pull tricks on 2 or 3 guys and solve with a minimal crew. And I immediately thought of that deck when all of this stuff came out. So I took that 90 card deck and added about 40 cards to it. But,
I want to say that the rocket ship deck is a much more fragile and compact version of yours, and you had a lot more weird different things. I'm gonna guess that there aren't any Starfleet or I heard something about Romulan cards. I didn't even see any of those.
That was another late addition. As I was going through, I was a little leery of relying on Covenant because of interrupt hate, mm-hmm. And I really would much rather rely on personnel abilities because they can't really be canceled. And Odo is the big one. You know, you can kill somebody and gain a skill off a 4-coster. And I had a lot of decent 4-costers, but still some skills that I was missing. Even if I had one of everybody in my discard pile, I couldn't get any skill off of the 2 missions. I really wanted to be able to do that if I was short of anything. I wanted to have that ready. So The version that Thomas made had a bunch of, it was kind of non-aligned, or not non-aligned, alternate universe themed. So it had Bashir, Rebel Captain, and Jadzia Dax, and Ezri, and, you know, Smiley, and it was very much focused on that theme. I had to take a lot of that out because of the new Bajor. But as I was doing so, it occurred to me that those are really useful for other reasons. And so I was like, oh, sure, I'll leave the Bashir in. I won't get to play him. But he's a six coster, so he works for Basso really well, and he's got a ton of skills. He's a leadership guy, so he works for Dakot. So he was a triple threat as a resource in my discard pile for all three of my main characters. And then as I realized that, I was like, well, why? You know, I'm already milling two-thirds of my deck every game when I was testing, and you know, I'm not going to play them. I'm just going to pitch them anyway. So why not put in a handful of other cards? So I put in a Lore, and I put in a Petal, and I put in a Maximilian Forest, and an E.G. Robinson. Basically, anybody who was really high cost and had a ton of skills. Oh, and the icing on the cake was Zephram Cochran, because as everybody who's ever used Pegasus Research or Pegasus Search knows, he is a rock star for that mission. So those were huge additions. At which point that expanded my horizons to, well, if I'm adding these nonsense cards just to be in my discard pile, why not throw in a couple of rule 141s so that Basso can be a +9 instead of a +6? And that saved my bacon a couple times when Dakot got stopped and I couldn't use his, and the only attribute buffs I had were Basso. So all of those random cards I got put in definitely ended up saving my game on multiple occasions.
So I think we went into the last turn and I had a Planet in Space done, and since you were playing two 50-point missions, if you had finished Planet in Space, you would have been done. I think you finished your... Did you finish your Planet first? Did you go to Planet first?
I did go to Planet first because that has ended up being the better target for that dilemma we talked about.
Right.
But because of the trickery on my planets, I unfortunately only have one space mission.
Right. So you were going to attempt your mission on your last turn. Was there anything under it? I think you went in and got it clean, didn't you? I don't remember.
Nope. It was fresh.
Yeah. And I think I drew...
It was empty.
I drew whatever and played a couple and didn't stop enough. I think I needed to stop an extra person, but that was it. So you got the full win, 100 to 75 or something like that. And
that is correct.
I think had time not run out and you not solved, I think I probably could have solved, but it was a close game. Both went back and forth a lot. I got it started early, and then you ran and just bulldozed through your mission. I think I stopped you once, but the second attempt was there was no stopping. I think you solved it with like five people after, because Dukat is awesome, and you had like 30 people in your discard pile, and you just kept taking people out until he was huge.
Exactly.
And it's funny because I made some comment about blowing up Enterprise J, and you said, no, I've got the ship that doesn't let you blow anything up. And looking back, I don't even know if you had to count that for your last mission. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it was in there just in case. Yeah. You know, it was nice to have it, and also to make you think that I relied on it.
Yeah.
You know, in case I didn't have that ship, and you know, you blow it up and think you have to stop, you know, less people.
Yeah, I think you had at the end of the game about 40 cards put out of play, and because I counted 30 midway through the game, and you took out about 10 more in that last attempt or two.
Yeah, I think you took out. I think you counted 40 before I attempted my first mission.
Yeah. man, it's
hooray, fine limitless world.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't playing my Dissonant deck, which was the other one I almost brought, because I would have made you discard a lot of cards.
Oh, man.
Johnny thought I was bringing a multi-headquarters. So a couple people were looked at my, you know, my mission since I, where's the multi-headquarters? I want to take two turns. just it did it, it. I've put together. No secret. I was very disappointed with the whole unnatural selection set and how it worked. But you know, I'm a fan of the character, so I want to try playing a con deck. And just as awful as trying to do only planets and not being able to go anywhere, or you know, you've played the deck. Once you play a few guys, you know, you have enough to attempt. If you get stopped, the next turn you play a few guys and you attempt again. If you don't solve it on that second attempt, you're looking at having 10 guys down there. You know, you can stop one of them with a superior woman. You can, but on that next turn, if you play anybody else, then you're going to be attempting with 13 or, you know, 12 people. And that's just, it's just rough. I've seen the deck work, and I've seen it fall on its face. I wasn't interested in doing that, so I decided to play them on DS9 and just use pretty much the only reason they work together is because Khan gives a discount. So I bustling helped get him out early and played a couple of pretty much two cost cunning eight guys with a couple of skills and ran off and tried to do a mission, and it worked pretty well. It was fun. I wanted to have more thematic stuff in there, but you know, I put the Reliant in. That was fun. I don't think I ever used it. I think the deck could use another ship, even though I was at 47-42, and with four ships and attacking, and it needed another ship or two. Those little seven range guys weren't cutting it for the missions that couldn't go back and forth very easy, and that slowed me down a lot. I also put in a lot of personnel that were kind of extra. I looked at the deck list, and you know, one of the great things about the deck builder is it gives you totals down at the bottom of how many of each skill you have. And I thought, well, I've got a few leadership, but I could probably use some more. And if someone keeps playing, you know, you need leaders or generals or admirals, dignitaries and witnesses over and over again, you know, 'cause that's a pretty good build. I'm going to be in trouble. So I put in a couple admirals. I put in a couple of people that just kind of padded skill gaps here and there. I put in a telepathy guy. I put in a Shahryar, was a cheap personnel with a few skills that I was short on. And all those extra personnel really didn't help when I was attempting missions and I needed extra bodies, because they were not strong, or they were not smart, or they were not helpful. The admirals I was using, you know, had security, so that was good for the mission. I looked around, and there's only one or two security guys who were genetically engineered. One of them is Rogodanar, and man, he's expensive. But anyway, I think the deck was interesting. I would probably play it again if we were the play group that plays decks more than once every 4 years, as your deck attested to. But if you're looking for a way to play Khan and all those guys in a deck that's actually competitive and not horrible, I would recommend running them off DS9, because bustling was huge. That was fun. And in the last round, I played against Thomas, and you played against Thomas,
too.
Oh,
you got a bustling. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. So in my game against Thomas, he plays that guy with the horrible picture in the sunglasses.
I did.
You know, that lets you download an event interrupter equipment. And he picked an event, and I picked bustling.
Yes.
So my bustling was discarded. And he played him again.
Yeah, and then if they match.
If they match, they're both discarded. So he played him again, and I got my other bustling, he got another event, and so we both had her discarded. So I never saw it out against him. I didn't see it out against you. That was one of the things I liked, because a few of the bad personnel I had were like the Federation guys, but you know, you play any of the Federation admirals, and you go get Sisko, or you get Sisko and then go get, you know, Bashir, who fits the theme really well. But anyway, Thomas is really good at playing dilemmas. I think I must have attempted that space mission, well, for an hour, because I didn't score any points that game. And he played one, and it bounced. And he played one, and it required the same skill that he knew I didn't have, and I didn't have 3 geology, so that went under. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to play some personnel, and I'm going to go home this turn, and next turn I'm going to go over there, and he's not going to know who I have. And he played 3 cards, and 2 of them bounced, and one of them went to my core, so he could play 3 next turn, and the last one stopped me. And it was just... I really need to... I altered my playstyle against Johnny because I was worried about getting Krooged. I need to figure out how to alter my playstyle against Thomas because he can play skill dilemmas better than... the joke is he knows who I have in my dilemma pile and my away team before I do. You know, he can just put down a dilemma and say, okay, I'm going to randomly select this guy, or I'm asking for this skill. You only have one guy with it, and everyone else is going to be stopped, and it's going to be my turn. So can we just get on with it? But he's way too nice to say something like that. But that's what it equates to. I think I slowed him down a bit, but he ended up getting a full win, 100-0. Say that again.
Weren't you running that interrupt that lets you stop from throwing a dilemma?
Yeah, you know, the interrupt is superior tactics or some nonsense. And it doesn't do quite as much as I was hoping. The primary thing is it gets a captured guy back, which that's worth 3 copies right there, because if somebody gets captured, I'm kind of out of luck. But if a dilemma is returning to your opponent's deck, you can put it out of play instead of letting it go back. So if you're running the same dilemmas and banging your head against the same thing over and over again, that's great. But if it's just going to bounce, then you can make it go out of play. It's still not going under. It's not consuming, but yeah. Meh. How'd your game against him go?
Well, it was interesting because it was first, and I had just finished telling you that that I was basically playing a deck that I had that was inspired by Thomas. So I was a little nervous coming in, and you know, it was clearly a very different. It's turned into a different animal, but it was inspired by this deck that he played a long time ago, and I even didn't play it in San Diego because I didn't want to steal his thunder. I built it and took it to Origins so I could play it in a different environment. But, you know, give him credit. And so I like taking that and then playing him first. But his eyes got wide and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What is going to happen here? So it was interesting. And he had the same reaction that I thoroughly enjoyed, but mainly you and Charlie's reactions as I was discarding cards that had no business being in my deck. But, you know, once he saw Odo come out and Dakot come out, he was like, okay, I'm starting to remember this. And so he did a better job than most. I mean, I got out as quickly, quicker than I did against anybody else, and he held me off the longest. It was very nearly a 5-0 victory for him from his Opaka points, but I solved on my last turn to get a mission. And that was only after a couple attempts. So, you know, he knows the cards and he knows, you know, but he was playing Bajorans as well. So he again had that same advantage and knew to look in my discard pile that I was going to be using a lot of that. So he certainly... was the most knowledgeable, as you say, and knew what to play against me to hold me off the longest. But eventually that deck just beats it down. And, you know, that skill only lasts so long when you, you know, only have so many points to play. So I was able to wait him out.
Yeah. I know maybe that was the game I'm thinking of where I felt like I had to go out quick. Let me know. If anyone's listening and has any ideas, send me a note. But the only thing I can think of is just keep throwing people at the mission. The way I was playing with, since I could solve with 6 people, I would throw 9 people at the mission and make you play a dilemma or 2. And then I would come back with 6 people, and then you'd get like 1 or 2 draws, and that would be it. So when it worked,
sure.
I faced, you know, 3 dilemmas the first time and maybe 1 the second time, and that was it. But man, I need a new strategy against TV. All right.
Yeah, he's tough. But that dilemma, man, I am so excited I threw that in at the last minute. I just, thinking of those 50-point missions, and I got one off at all.
Yeah, you got it off against me.
Four lost. It's a word. It's called. I got off against you. I got off against JD. I think I played it against Charlie. Or no, it was Johnny. I got it off against Johnny. That was tough, man. If you're not playing an archaeology deck,
yeah,
two archaeology
requires you to have the skills on a mission your opponent completed, right? So you chose your 50-point, two archaeology, and all kinds of other stuff. And I looked in my pile.
Yeah, two arco, two bio.
Yeah, I don't know that. I have one archaeology in my whole deck, so I was never getting past that dilemma. Yeah. Anyway, that was good play. I'll tell you, my first round I felt pretty good, beat Charlie. Second round, beat JD, not by as much. Third round, I held Johnny to a modified win. So I was thinking, all right, if I win my last two games, that means I will have beaten Rogue. We'll both be 4-1, you know, if you win out. So I still got this. And then I played against you, and it was so close, and I lost. I got a full loss. And then I didn't get any points against TV.
Yeah.
So my day went from fantastic, okay, good win, I held him off, oh, that was a painful victory, why am I even playing?
Oh, man.
It was a long day. We did, however, finish with enough time to play Tribbles.
We did.
And I think I needed it at the end of the day. And that was another... It was close. No one was running away with it until Charlie went out in the last round with a battle deck and got like 800,000 and just destroyed us all. But that was a good fun. We didn't run out of time. There was no dragging, long, dragged-out plays or anything.
Yeah, that was about halfway through, I think, after round three. I looked around and was like, oh, this is cool. Everybody, a different person has gone out every round. And then I looked around the table and was like, oh, but there's six people in five rounds.
Yeah. It was a close match, but again, Charlie won. It was not our regional. We'll have our Tribbles regional a bit later. But it was a good end to the evening. Thanks to everyone who came out. Again, congratulations to you for taking it. Thomas... beating me in the last round, took second place. I got third with a strength of schedule victory over Charlie, and then Johnny and JD. Is that everybody? I didn't miss anybody, did I? No.
Nope, that's it.
And since this was my first tournament this spring, I was also a Return to Grace event, so we had a lot of we had regional foils and Return to Grace foils and a two-week kit to give out. So a lot of stuff to give out. Good time. Anything else you want to mention about the regional?
No, I think it was nice to play a fun deck instead of, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the time it's like, well, I can play a deck that I think will be fun to play and probably not do very well and kind of get my ass handed to me by the speed solvers or the battle decks that are, you know, regional, must win regionals, you know, competitive season, or I can try to play something competitive and then get frustrated because it's not as fun to play, and then it's more frustrating to lose when you're actually trying to win. So
yeah.
Which is why I generally don't like to go into it like that. So I was like, I'm only here because it's the regional. I want to, you know, beef up the numbers and, you know, see people. I did notice that when I was not going to 2E tournaments, I was not getting nearly as many buttons. So we'll go for the show the social aspect and the prize aspect, and we'll play a nice, fun deck that I've been looking forward to. And it was cool that it actually did well.
All right. I also played a deck that was kind of fun and not really, you know, all out trying to win everything, but... I just feel disappointed. I think it helped.
Five rounds is a long day.
Yeah, five rounds is a long day. Shall we switch gears for a minute and talk about the cards that appeared magically on Friday?
Absolutely.
You
mean the Warp Pack Emissary?
Yeah, yeah. Six cards.
I am excited.
Three DS9 cards, three TNG cards. TNG personnel for the most part to help out, well, Enterprise, the USS Enterprise build for two of them, and the probably Ferengi, I think, got hit the hardest with Gozar being universal or unique from Universal. They've lost a lot of diplomacy, so a new diplomacy personnel.
Yeah.
But the main attraction of this top three, the don't commandeer my station, go fetch sites, and Federation matches, right? Those are the three things, right? Oh, and draw no cards.
Yeah,
it was part of the go fetch sites thing. You've actually played DS9 a lot more than I have, which is more than once, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Many times.
And we talked about how really difficult it was to try to keep the station and or keep up with TNG. What do you think about these cards?
I think they're amazing. I think they're exactly what that set of builds needs to be able to play against the other decks, because the big complaints were you're going to lose DS9 if Cardassians get to play right away. Cardassians are just waiting. They hope you play DS9 instead of them getting to play Taric Nor, because then they can go take it away and get 20 points for no reason. But that lets you kind of defend against that. If you're going to have the whole, have your whole deck based around a station, it would be nice to be able to hang on to it for a little while. The Federation can go get the Defiant now. That's how it always should have been. That's how we said it should have been when DS9, the first set, came out, 12 years ago or whatever. It's always been a complaint, and that's why everybody loved DS9 and Tui so much, was because you could get them to mix, and that still wasn't quite there with the release of Emissary, and that's really the next step that it needed to be. They needed to be considering matching for the station. They're running the damn thing, let them download to it, and now you can get your feds there if you need to. You can get the Defiant out so that you can have a place to run to if you need to get off the station. And it's doing all that without making you take up any more of those precious seed slots. You can seed that, and then you're already seeding Cisco 197 if you're playing a station and have any hope of keeping it. So now you can seed this, and that downloads 917. So you're really, or 197. So you're not losing a slot there.
Two of the three download something else. So We Need You Here is the only one that's an additional seed slot. Because really, you're probably playing with Celestial Temple, right? You're probably playing with 197, absolutely, as you said. So not three new cards, but not really an associated cost with them. Did you play DS9 or Bajoran Fed, or did you just play Cardassian?
I played Cardassian once, and I played, I kind of cheated. I played DS9 in block once, but I also, in Constructed, I played the Mirror. Mirror Quadrant.
Yes.
So that was not quite, but I could see that being a problem. And so I didn't play true DS9. I tried my mirror trick also because I really wanted to try that out. But I did use mirror, the regular Here by Invitation in the Alpha Quadrant in block, and it was just really slow and clunky and susceptible to, regardless, a TNG Klingon deck, took the station in the second turn, and I was out of it basically for the game.
So Contained Boarding Parties has a countdown of 2, and it doesn't count down if you take the first turn. Do you think that's enough? Would you play with the second copy in your deck to play after the first 2 turns, or would you just go with that and figure by turn 3 you're probably out running around anyway?
Turn 3 at least gives you a chance to get there and get set up. If you see a deck that's likely going to come gunning for you, you can adjust your play style accordingly. If you want to use another copy, I suppose that's an option to go, but at least it gives you the chance to get the Defiant, get a couple of people, and get the hell out of Dodge. Whereas before, with no way to get the Defiant and, the station being the only place you can play, if you lose it early, you don't get to do anything. You have no free plays. You have no way to get a card draw, you know, your card draw going. You're just kind of sitting there hoping to get a Defiant.
Yeah. There's been some talk about this is potentially too strong. I think there were... you'll see my name on the design team there, so I can let you in on some. There were some other cards that got cut, and this is what we're down to. I do not think this is too strong. I think TNG is still very, very strong. I think TNG still may be stronger than DS9, even with the changes to, you know, all the erratas that we've done, continuing mission and attention all hands and bringing military operations and everything else. That when we started out, you know, it was tested. We thought it was great. After playing it for a while, we realized, wow, this is pretty good. If we're gonna try to make another set, we can't make it this good. We have to take down TNG a notch before otherwise this is gonna get out of control. and so that I think the first change was made to continuing mission to just one draw. That was a while ago. But the number of universal personnel that TNG can spit out was just so good that other subtle change that now you can only play people you haven't played before and they can't go to the ship. They have to go to, well, if you're playing Klingon, they can still go to the ship as long as you've got Gowron somewhere. If you're playing, they have Enterprise in the name, they can still go to the ship. If you're playing Romulan, a lot of those guys can still go to the ship, or a few of them can. I still
so think, screw you, Ferengi.
It's funny when we a long time ago when we were testing, right? There was a Ferengi personnel, and he had 5 skills. And one of the loud testers says, "I think I might have told the story already. Hey, you know what would be great? A universal Ferengi with 6 skills." And I said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "No, that'd be great. Ferengi need more people, good people." There aren't any good Ferengi people. We should have a Ferengi with six skills. And I said, okay, fine. You can have a Ferengi with acquisition and treachery and smuggling, and then 3 skills that you might actually want. And that turned into something that wasn't quite working. So while we were analyzing all the starters, we changed smuggling to something that was like navigation, and then we went and made acquisition like mission skills. So Gozar turned out to be really good, even though he was not set up to be that good.
And he's got like cunning 8, so he gets past the game, and he's...
Yeah. So, I'm not too terribly disappointed that a lot of cards from that set I worked on got errated, but, you know, someone who was working on the errata team said, you know, we could do this, but you know, no one's ever played Ferengi this much before. They're actually good for the first time ever. Shouldn't that count for something?
I played Ferengi all the time.
That's right. You're the one. And and for the while they were, but...
If we had achievements back then, I would be the only person with the Ferengi win achievement.
No doubt. I think they had a run, and I think they're probably pared down, so they're a little bit more even. I'm working on the Project Boomer, and I think going into some of the meetings when Charlie and Thomas and Corbin were sitting down to work on DS9, if we had to match the power level that we set up in TNG, I think it would have been a lot more difficult. I think it was good to kind of bring it down a bit. It would have been, you know, Delta Quadrant all over again. And I think to some extent it was, but, you know, it's hard to argue with the number of people that came back and started playing. I just hope that the changes that we made don't discourage too many of them. You know, I think DS9 is going to be fun to play at Block and in OTF. I think they'll find their way in the decks, and people will actually get to play what they want to play, which is DS9, and not have to play it. They won't have to take a deck or a build that was designed to play a certain way and then have to do all kinds of nonsense to play it in a way that actually makes it viable. And that ties a big bow on the whole conversation in the show, doesn't it? All right.
It does.
Shall we end this?
All right. Well, that's a lot of regional action and a lot of warp pack analysis for you. I'm looking forward to playing those. I think that's our next tournament in 2 weeks. We're going to have 2E or 1E constructed, and I'm certain that those cards are going to be in many decks. We will give you some news about that as it comes up. I am Sir Rogue,
and
regional champion.
And I'm Sir Dan, regional third place guy. Regional director. Do I get an achievement for that? Oh, and now Rogue fell off. All right, well, he will say, expand your power in the universe. And I will say, you're all one to end. And you'll be double-crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always...